me ask you a question. If you believe that nothing is impossible for God. Today we study the name El Shaddai. That name is in our Old Testament 48 times. And it's one of God's best known names, but it is probably one of the names that we know the least about. And one more. There we go. Thank you. When you see the phrase God Almighty in your Bible, you have just read the name El Shaddai. And that was the chief name by which God was known to the patriarchs, and it is the name by which we need to know him if we are going to imitate their faith. As we've been going through the book of Genesis, we have taken a different name each Sunday morning as it appears for the very first time. And the first time that El Shaddai shows up in Scripture is in the 17th chapter of Genesis. So open up your Bibles with me, please, to the story of God's conversation with Abram just 1 year before he was to become a daddy. Genesis 17, beginning in the first verse, we read these words. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. The name El Shaddai is a cognate name. In other words, it's two names put together. And the meaning of both parts is very significant. El is obviously short for the name that we studied at the very beginning, Elohim. And we saw that when we read the name Elohim in Genesis 1, it spoke of his power and his might and his omnipotence and the transcendence of God. In fact, sometimes in Scripture, God was simply referred to as El. For example, look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 3. O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what El is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works that you do? Or again, look again where just El is used to refer to God. Psalm 77 verse 14. You are El who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. We have already seen that as Elohim, our God created and he sustains the entire universe. Our God is the one who can speak, and things are. But when we see him as El Shaddai, we notice that not only can God speak the universe into existence, but God can compel nature to do what is actually contrary to itself. As El Shaddai, he can make a sea part, and people walk on dry land where ocean used to be. As El Shaddai, he can tell the sun to stand still in the sky. And it is this name then that God uses, God Almighty, El Shaddai, when he comes to this 99-year-old man whose body was reproductively dead. He said to him, I will make you a father. I am Elohim, who made your body. I am Elohim, who created this world, but I am El Shaddai. And I can take your dead body that I made and make it fruitful. So God not only made nature, God can reverse the laws of nature any time he chooses as El Shaddai. In fact, the most amazing time that God did this was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that God can do anything? No. Almightiness is not the power to do anything. It is the power to carry out the will of his divine nature. God actually abides and submits himself to laws of logic. He cannot make a rock so big that even he cannot move it. God cannot make himself not exist. In fact, those simple statements are of little use in the real world. The Bible does not say that God can do anything. The Bible says that God can do anything consistent with who he is and what he wants done. The Bible says, for example, clearly that it is impossible for God to lie. That's one thing that God cannot do. It is inconsistent with his nature. When we say that God is almighty, what we mean by that is that God can do anything he chooses to do consistent with who he is and what he wants done in creation. That's what we mean by that name. And so, El says that God is all powerful. God can make a sea. God can divide a sea. God can make a sun. And God can tell the sun to stand still. God can send his own son to earth as an embryo. And then he can raise that crucified son from the dead. El means that God is all powerful. He can do anything he wants consistent with his nature. But that's just the first part of the name. El Shaddai is particularly significant because it is the name that connects God's mightiness with his nurturing goodness. The word El Shaddai, as I said, is found 48 times in the Old Testament, and it is always translated Almighty. The interesting thing is that Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word Shad. Shad is found 24 times in our Old Testament, and you might be surprised at what the Hebrew word shad means. It means breast. Specifically, a mother's breast. El Shaddai is the God who supplies sustenance and nourishment to his children. When we say he is God Almighty, we don't mean that he's this despot ruler who rules as a dictator and does whatever he wants. We're talking about the soft power of a mother's breast. And those of us who have had small children know there is hardly a power in the universe mightier than the power of a mother's breast. Because if you've ever had a small baby and brought it home from the hospital, you know when that baby begins to cry at 2 a.m. in the morning, you, all of the money that you have, can't make that baby be quiet. All of your influence, all of your titles, all of your degrees can't make that baby go to sleep. There's only one power in the whole universe that will quiet that child, and it's the mother's breast. And don't let that metaphor make you uncomfortable. It was not uncomfortable to God, because there are several times in the Old Testament where God describes his kindness to Israel as like a nursing mother. You have to remember that it is no accident, because the pagan peoples that surrounded Israel, they all worshipped fertility gods. And you've seen pictures in books or in museums of idols that were covered with many breasts. And the idea was that the pagan people had their God that would say, our God nourishes, our God makes the crops grow, our God sends the rain. And in the midst of all of that pagan idolatry, God says to Israel, I'm the one who nourishes. I am the one who supplies. I am the one who satisfies. And that's when the Jewish scholars took the Old Testament and they actually translated it several hundred years before Christ into the Greek language. And the word that they chose for Shaddai is the word ikonos, which means sufficient. So that's the second part of the name then. Shaddai says that God is all sufficient. What do we mean when we say that God is mighty? His mightiness, his almightiness, is that of bountiful, self-sacrificing love that gives and pours itself out for its beloved. El Shaddai is the God who empties himself for his children. Think about that. Is that not consistent with what we just did moments ago when we took communion together? We are remembering that God literally emptied himself out. He poured himself out to sustain and rescue and give us life. That's what we mean when we say that God is almighty. Do you see how that is different from how the pagans talk about the mightiness of their gods? When the pagans talked about how mighty their God is, they're usually talking about how their God can kill and wipe out and destroy. When the Hebrews talked about how mighty their God is, they were referring to how God nourishes and God sustains and God gives life. That's what El Shaddai means. In El Shaddai, we acknowledge a God who is all powerful and all sufficient. He is the source of all of our blessings and all of our fullness and all of our fruitfulness. So what does that mean? First, his name is a call to faithfulness. When God first revealed this name, Abram was finally at a point where he knew he could never become a father on his own. Think about that. When God called Abram and told him that he would make him a daddy, even though Abram believed God could do it, Abram still believed the power was somehow within himself. That's why when his wife came and said, hey, go ahead and take Hagar, even though he was 86 years old at the time, he takes this woman and he gets her pregnant because he still thought that the power was somehow within himself. And so God waits until this man is now 99 years old. You ever wonder why God made him wait this long? That's why. He made him wait that long so Abram understood there is no power within himself anymore. And God comes to him and tells him a name he has never heard before. He says, Abram, I am El Shaddai. I can provide for all of your needs. Just like an infant only needs the mother's milk, God comes to him and says, Abram, I'm all you need. You don't need your plans. You don't need handmaids. You don't need strategies. All you need is me. And so he says to him in verse 5, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Notice God did not say, I will make you a father. He said, I have made you a father. My friends, Abraham had a choice. And it's the same choice that you and I sitting here today have right now. The choice is not whether he would believe in God. The choice was whether he would believe God. And there's a huge difference. I doubt anyone in this room this morning is coming to church needing to be told to believe in God. That's not our struggle. Our struggle is that God makes these incredible statements and we don't believe them. We believe in him. It's just that we don't always believe him. Now, Abram had a choice. And his choice was this: are you going to go back to your camp with all of these hundreds of servants and workers and helpers and your wife? And are you going to stand up as a 99-year-old man and say to these people, I've got a new name now. Don't call me Abram anymore, because that's not good enough for who I am going to be. From now on, call me Abraham, father of nations. You know, when he went back into that camp and said, I've got a new name, that there were probably quite a few that thought he'd fallen off the camel. And Abraham knew that he would be subject to scorn and ridicule and talk behind his back, but it was his choice whether or not he would believe God. And brothers, sisters, that is our choice. Does the world see you living on these promises of El Shaddai when the world thinks they are foolish and scornful? You know that you live within 2 hours of one of the best zoos in America? Henry Dorley Zoo is consistently rated at one of the top 5 zoos in our country. It is literally world renowned. And at the zoo, they have these African animals called impalas. And you'll notice that there are these little impalas kept in enclosures with only 3 foot high walls. That's amazing because an impala can jump at least 10 feet high. They can clear over 300 feet in distance in the air. So how in the world can they keep these incredible beasts within these little bitty walls? The answer is simple. The impala has no faith. It will not jump unless it can absolutely see where it is going to land. And so a little bitty wall can hem in this great beast. I think that's the way many of us are living today. Do you remember what Jesus said to his hearers in Matthew chapter 6? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. My brothers and sisters, when you worry and when you fret and when you live your life anxious and fearful, what you are saying to the world is that you do not know El Shaddai. Your God is too small. Because if you really knew El Shaddai, you don't live like you still wear an old name. So when God says, my name is El Shaddai, God is saying that if you are going to use that name, then you believe him. He calls us to faithfulness. He calls us to not just believe in him, but to believe him. And we need to live like people with a new name. Second, his name is a call to fruitfulness. Because in the very next verse we read in Genesis 17, notice that God said to Abraham, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. As I worked on this message this past week, I looked up all of the uses of the name El Shaddai, and I noticed that when I find that name, there are many, many times you find a promise connected to El Shaddai, that your God is going to make you fruitful. That's what the patriarchs would teach their children about God and who he is. And so Abraham taught Isaac, he is El Shaddai, he's able, Isaac, to make you fruitful. And Isaac gave that same blessing to Jacob. Look with me, Genesis chapter 28, verse 3. May El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. And then Jacob leaves and he had a vision of this great ladder and angels. And God speaks to him in Genesis chapter 35. And he says, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. And then Jacob had sons, and he taught them about El Shaddai. Look at Genesis 48. Jacob said to Joseph, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, I'm going to make you fruitful, and I will increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples. Do you see how each dad is saying to their sons, El Shaddai will make us fruitful. Look at the last blessing that Jacob gives just before he dies. He calls in all of his boys And he says to Joseph in Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of El Shaddai, who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. With the patriarchs, they taught their children that this is how they would survive, not because they're the mightiest people, not because of their great weaponry, not because of their great wealth, not because of their great numbers. They taught they would have a great future because El Shaddai would make them fruitful. El Shaddai knows your potential. He knows the fruit that can come out of your life. And he has special joy when he sees his children maximizing their potential that they were created to experience. And he's willing to work in your life to make that happen. Heard a story of a woman who had a very expensive handkerchief and someone had spilled ink on it. She thought it was ruined. She was telling this well-known artist in England, John Ruskin, and he asked her for the handkerchief, and he sat down at a table, and he took out his own pen, and he immediately used that ink blot to draw and design this incredibly beautiful picture on her handkerchief, and then it became even more valuable than it was before. And something like that is happening in my life and your life. God has created us to be beautiful, to reflect his glory, and then sin came along. And sin has marred us, sin has stained us, sin has destroyed us. But God did not give up on us. God came back and said, I'm going to work on that defect. I'm going to work in your life. You can still be an incredible creature. He can take our life and make it show his glory because he is El Shaddai. Now, I have to add something here that we're not going to want to hear. Answering the Almighty's call to fruitfulness sometimes involves submitting to chastening. In the first chapter of Ruth, you remember the story of how Naomi and her husband went off into a land of pagan peoples, which I believe was disobedient. The Lord was very clear about not doing such things, and it was there that she lost her husband. It was there that she lost her sons. And when she came back, she said to the Hebrews, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because El Shaddai has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. El Shaddai has brought misfortune upon me." Now, you know, if you read the end of the story, El Shaddai was able to actually make Naomi fruitful. But I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, John 15. We'll start in the very first verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Let me ask you three questions quickly. Do you believe that because El Shaddai is all powerful, he can provide whatever you need to be fruitful? Amen. Second, do you believe that because El Shaddai is all sufficient, all you really need is to remain in him? Amen. Third, are you willing to be pruned so you can experience God as El Shaddai? I found it interesting. I told you 48 times the name El Shaddai appears in our Old Testament. 31 of those 48 times that name appears in one book. Want to take a guess? The book of Job. You want to find out that all you need is God? You want to find out if you can really be fruitful? Then it might mean being willing to be pruned and chastened by the Almighty. The people that knew him as El Shaddai knew him because they had been in a pit. And it was there they found out that God can sustain. I want you to realize that when we say that God is Almighty, that he is El Shaddai, we are not meaning so much that he can make the stars, that he can create the universe. We know he can do that. When we say God Almighty, we mean that God is able to nourish. He's able to sustain. He's able to make my life fruitful. That's what he's doing for me, and that's what he wants to do for you. He wants you to know him, not just as God that makes the stars, that makes the planets, but as the God who can make your own life work. But that means a couple of things that we need to close with. One, we cannot experience his sufficiency until we acknowledge our own insufficiency. Why did God wait so long to share his name, El Shaddai, with Abram? God waited until it was no longer possible, according to the flesh, for the child of promise to be born. The revelation of himself as El Shaddai taught Abraham his own insufficiency. It taught him the futility of relying on his own efforts. It taught him the folly of trying to run ahead of God. He had to learn, we have to learn, that what God promises, only God can give. And oh, how we struggle with that lesson. We struggle with that lesson because we still don't really know him as El Shaddai. It's 1988, Los Angeles, California. A woman fell asleep at the wheel on a freeway. She did not see the barrier on the freeway. They were working on a bridge. She drove right through it, and somehow her left tire got caught, and the car dangled there on that bridge. Some other people saw what happened. They drove up. People jumped out. They got ropes, and they were trying to somehow hold on to the vehicle. Well, firemen came, rescue workers came, and apparently in that fall, she got damaged pretty bad, injured. So whenever the car would even move just a little bit, she would scream out very loudly in pain. It took 2.5 hours to rescue this young woman, but the fire marshal, Ross Martin, said this: the most amazing thing is when they finally got to her to rescue her, she kept shouting at her rescuers, "I can do it myself!" And as silly as that sounds to think about, how foolish it is in heaven when we do the same thing with Almighty God. God wants to pour his life into our lives. But first, we have to admit that we actually need to be filled. One more thing. We cannot receive from his fullness until we are empty of ourselves. And my brothers and sisters, this is one of the reasons El Shaddai prunes us. Think about Job, the man that was chastened more than any who has ever lived, and at the end of the book, he's more fruitful than he was before. I came across this poem. I'm not a poetry guy, but I love these words. Listen to this. "One by one, God took them from me. all the things I valued most, till I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. I walked earth's highways, grieving in my rags and poverty, until I heard his voice inviting, "Lift those empty hands to me." So I turned my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with the store of his own transcendent riches, till they could not contain any more. And at last I comprehended, with my stupid mind so dull, that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. And maybe you need to lift empty hands right now to Almighty God, who can supply all of your needs, because he is El Shaddai. Stand up. In this quiet moment, I want you to think about one area in your life where you know God needs to fill this. One area of your life where you are not fruitful and it has been dry, it has been parched. What I want you to do in the quietness of this moment is to empty yourself. I want you to acknowledge your insufficiency. And I want you to ask El Shaddai to come and fill you. El Shaddai, the God that came and made a daddy out of a 100-year-old man. The God that blessed Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The God that humbled Job. The God that disciplined Naomi. We come to you right now, God, and we lift our empty hands. And we ask you to fill us with yourself. Teach us the words of Jesus, that only when we remain in you can we find life and freedom. So pour yourself into our lives. We give up all the strategies and all the agendas. You and you alone are all we need. Help us, like Abraham, to wear this new name.